Are we done?
Mad Sweeney hesitated, then nodded. Shadow let go of him and took several steps backward. Sweeney, panting, pushed himself back up to a standing position.
Not on your ass! It ain't over till I say it is!
Then he grinned and threw himself forward, swinging at Shadow. He stepped onto a fallen ice cube, and his grin turned to open-mouthed dismay as his feet went out from under him and he fell backward. The back of his head hit the barroom floor with a definite thud. Shadow put his knee into Mad Sweeney's chest.
For the second time, are we done fighting?
We may as well be at that,
said Sweeney, raising his head from the floor.
For the joy's gone out of me now. Like the pee from a small boy in a swimming pool on a hot day.
And he spat the blood from his mouth and closed his eyes and began to snore in deep and magnificent snores. Somebody clapped Shadow on the back. Wednesday put a bottle of beer into his hand. It tasted better than mead. Shadow woke up stretched out in the back of a sedan car. The morning sun was dazzling and his head hurt. He sat up awkwardly, rubbing his eyes. Wednesday was driving. He was humming tunelessly as he drove. He had a paper cup of coffee in the cup holder. They were heading along what looked like an interstate highway, with the cruise control set to an even 65. The passenger seat was empty.
How are you feeling this fine morning?
Asked Wednesday without turning around.
What happened to my car? It was a rental.
Mad Sweeney took it back for you. It was part of the deal the two of you cut last night.
Deal?
After the fight.
Fight?
He put one hand up and rubbed his cheek, and then he winced. Yes, there had been a fight. He remembered a tall man with a ginger beard and the cheering and whooping of an appreciative audience.
Who won?
You don't remember, huh?
Not so you'd notice.
Conversations from the night before began to jostle in his head uncomfortably.
You got any more of that coffee?
The big man reached beneath the passenger seat and passed back an unopened bottle of water.
Here, you'll be dehydrated. This will help more than coffee for the moment. We'll stop at the next gas station and get you some breakfast. You'll need to clean yourself up, too. You look like something the goat dragged in.
Cat dragged in.
Goat. Huge, rank, stinking goat with big teeth.
Shadow unscrewed the top of the water and drank. Something clinked heavily in his jacket pocket. He put his hand into the pocket and pulled out a coin the size of a half dollar. It was heavy and a deep yellow in color. It was also slightly sticky. Shadow palmed it in his right hand, classic palm, then produced it from between his third and fourth fingers. He front-palmed it, holding it between his first and his little fingers, so it was invisible from behind, then slipped his two middle fingers under it, pivoting it smoothly into a back palm. Finally, he dropped the coin back into his left hand, and he placed it into his pocket.
What the hell was I drinking last night?
Asked Shadow. The events of the night were crowding around him now, without shape, without sense, but he knew they were there. Mr. Wednesday spotted an exit sign promising a gas station, and he gunned the engine.
You don't remember?
No.
You were drinking mead,
said Wednesday. He grinned a huge grin. Mead. Yes. Shadow leaned back in the seat and sucked down water from the bottle and let the night before wash over him. Most of it, he remembered. Some of it, he didn't. In the gas station, Shadow bought a clean-you-up kit, which contained a razor, a packet of shaving cream, a comb, and a disposable toothbrush packed with a tiny tube of toothpaste. Then he walked into the men's restroom and looked at himself in the mirror. He had a bruise under one eye. When he prodded it, experimentally, with one finger, he found it hurt deeply, and a swollen lower lip. His hair was a tangle, and he looked as if he had spent the first half of last night fighting and then the rest of the night fast asleep, fully dressed, in the back seat of a car. Tinny music played in the background. It took him some moments to identify it as the Beatles' Fool on the Hill. Shadow washed his face with the restroom's liquid soap, then he lathered his face and shaved. He wet his hair and combed it back. He brushed his teeth. Then he washed the last traces of the soap and the toothpaste from his face with lukewarm water, stared back at his reflection. Clean-shaven, but his eyes were still red and puffy. He looked older than he remembered. He wondered what Laura would say when she saw him, and then he remembered that Laura wouldn't say anything ever again, and he saw his face in the mirror tremble, but only for a moment. He went out.
I look like shit.
Of course you do.
Wednesday took an assortment of snack food up to the cash register and paid for that and their gas, changing his mind twice about whether he was doing it with plastic or with cash, to the irritation of the gum-chewing young lady behind the till. Shadow watched as Wednesday became increasingly flustered and apologetic. He seemed very old suddenly. The girl gave him his cash back and put the purchase on the card, and then gave him the card receipt and took his cash, then returned the cash and took a different card. Wednesday was obviously on the verge of tears, an old man made helpless by the implacable plastic march of the modern world. Shadow checked out the payphone. An out-of-order sign hung on it. They walked out of the warm gas station, and their breath steamed in the air.
You want me to drive?
Hell no.
The freeway slipped past them, browning grass meadows on each side of them. The trees were leafless and dead. Two blackbirds stared at them from a telegraph wire.
Hey, Wednesday.
What?
The way I saw it in there, you never paid for the gas.
Oh?
The way I saw it, she wound up paying you for the privilege of having you in her gas station. You think she's figured it out yet?
She never will.
So what are you? A two-bit con artist?
Yes, I suppose I am. Among other things.
He swung out into the left lane to pass a truck. The sky was a bleak and uniform gray.
It's going to snow.
Yes.
Sweeney, did he actually show me how he did that trick with the gold coins?
Oh, yes.
I can't remember.
It'll come back. It was a long night.
Several small snowflakes brushed the windshield, melting in seconds.
Your wife's body is on display at Wendell's funeral parlor at present. Then after lunch, they will take her from there to the graveyard for the interment.
How do you know?
I called ahead while you were in the John. You know where Wendell's funeral parlor is?
Shadow nodded. The snowflakes whirled and dizzied in front of them.
This is our exit.
The car stole off the interstate and passed the cluster of motels to the north of Eagle Point. 3 years had passed. Yes, the Super 8 motel had gone, torn down. In its place was a Wendy's. There were more stoplights, unfamiliar storefronts. They drove downtown. Shadow asked Wednesday to slow as they drove past the Muscle Farm. Closed indefinitely, said the hand-lettered sign on the door, due to bereavement. Left on Main Street, past a new tattoo parlor and the Armed Forces Recruitment Center, then the Burger King, and, familiar and unchanged, Olson's Drugstore, and at last the yellow brick facade of Wendell's funeral parlor. A neon sign in the front window said, House of Rest. Blank tombstones stood unchristened and uncarved in the window beneath the sign. Wednesday pulled up in the parking lot.
Do you want me to come in?
Not particularly.
Good.
The grin flashed without humor.
There's business I could be getting on with while you say your goodbyes. I'll get rooms for us at the Motel America. Meet me there when you're done.
Shadow got out of the car and watched it pull away. Then he walked in. The dimly lit corridor smelled of flowers and of furniture polish, with just the slightest tang of formaldehyde and rot beneath the surface. At the far end was the Chapel of Rest. Shadow realized that he was palming the gold coin, moving it compulsively from a back palm to a front palm to a downs palm, over and over. The weight was reassuring in his hand. His wife's name was on a sheet of paper beside the door at the far end of the corridor. He walked into the Chapel of Rest. Shadow knew most of the people in the room, Laura's family, her workmates at the travel agency, several of her friends. They all recognized him. He could see it in their faces. There were no smiles, though, no hellos. At the end of the room was a small dais, and on it a cream-colored casket with several displays of flowers arranged about it, scarlets and yellows and whites and deep bloody purples. He took a step forward. He could see Laura's body from where he was standing. He did not want to walk forward. He did not dare to walk away.